This week on the Chubby Man Podcast, boing, woo!
That was quite good.
Podcast. Declan Maron, Rory Talbot, Shane Keane, and the lads all back again.
I'm back.
It's been a while. We missed last week, and I was sick the week before. We were all busy last week. And
I had a dose of it.
We all had sick. How are you doing, lads? Sorry.
Good.
You alright? Good. Okay. How's it been? Good.
Yeah, not the antibiotics, I'm mending.
Oh, antibiotics, I didn't know you were that sick.
Yeah, quite.
I'll be staying away from you.
Any
complaints from you?
No.
Sure.
No.
He was moaning a lot here before you got down with the
complaints in general. I meant, you know, any complaints, send them Declan Maron directly on Twitter as well.
I deserve that.
Actually,
we plugged your Twitter, I think, three times in the last show.
At 12th Man Podcast on the Twitter there. If you want to get in touch, you referenced me in one of your tweets, saying direct any hate mail towards.
I did it in the last episode as well, which you didn't get to hear yet.
At sock160, but yeah, probably don't bother because I'm never on it. But I did tweet. Last Monday. It's been a week.
Your second one was to me. Your first one was in general. And I hashtagged.
It was to do with the off the ball lads.
Don't pretend like you don't remember your first tweet.
Well, I replied in hashtag get retweeting. So, you know.
Yeah, my account has been deleted. I remember my first tweet.
It's still there.
It's spam.
It's first tweet. And the first question is ironically, what was your first kiss? The red.
But it is to do with Brian McDermott, who was incidentally my first kiss.
Actually, Brian McDermott's been sacked, but as the red manager, but I went to college with a girl who was kind of part of the McDermott family, who was related to Brian McDermott.
She must be devastated. Was she my first kiss?
Possibly.
Does she look in any way like Brian?
No, she was better looking than that.
Well, then no. Yeah, she wasn't.
It was either Brian or his twin.
Anyway, Brian McDermott's been sacked, so we were asking, you know, we'll touch on this in a bit more detail in a second, but he was a bald man. We said, who's your favourite bald player of all time? Bruce Holman?
Well, seeing as I'm a Real Madrid scout by night, I had to go with two, because I got confused. Diego and Thomas Gravesen.
The Growlsley.
It's like what
is it like a breakfast cereal?
Yeah, it's like what muesli tastes like. Yeah. Gravelsley.
It's got a Gravelsley. Yeah, that age-old head of Real Madrid thinking they were the same player. Thomas Gravesen.
I still don't believe
allegedly.
That.
Nobody believes it, but it's fun. It's fun to believe lies. I tell you, what about John Hartson?
I did like a bit of John Hartson, but see, he was never famous for being bald. As in, I don't mean that, but I mean, you know, it was never really addressed all that much. Just didn't have a lot of
maybe
hair, but he was a good lad.
Maybe he was underaddressed. Yeah.
He was underdressed. He was not that much.
Maybe people should refer to him more as like Baldo and stuff like that instead of John Hartson.
Instead of Lardo.
Bobo Baldo. I think he was a good lad. Liked him.
I actually think the bald head made Hartson a bit scarier, like a bit tougher. Like, remember when him and Berkovic kind of had a bit of a... You remember that fun in back of West Ham, but that was back when
he was a ginger.
Yeah, but he was still pretty bald and pretty scary looking back then, you know?
He's a big Welsh lad from the valleys, a bit pug-faced, like Phil Mitchell.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Like Phil Mitchell, a bit pug-faced, a bit kind of scary. Like
Wheels.
That.
That one. I think Martin Skirtle has that effect where he looks a bit more
like a neo-Nazi.
Yeah, but he looks scarier than he actually is. It's like, oh, he's a big tough player. He's like, oh, he kind of fell over there. Who's your favourite ball player?
This is going to be an unexpected one because you were all expecting me to say Steve Stone, and I'm not going to say Steve Stone. I'm going to say,
oh yeah, I just can't read you anymore, Decker.
Gary McAllister.
He was a good
lovely bit of Gary McAllister. Back in the 2000-2001 season for Liverpool, I remember that was...
He was about 37.
Yeah, when we saw... And it was like, what are we doing? We're signing, like,
why are we signing Gary McAllister?
We signed him for a couple of grand, like 120 grand off Coventry or something mad like that. It was like, you know, what are we doing? Like, we have a couple of decent midfielders coming through, and then he was just masterclass.
He was really good for
unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And like, that was, I think that was the, like, that was when we won the UEFA Cup, back when it was a good cup.
Alves.
Yeah, and his free kick got turned in for an own goal, and there was a couple of passes that year. I had a really old cassette tape of that season.
I could probably wear it.
It could be, actually. Yeah,
that's
it. I don't know if it works.
Is it?
One of my all-time favourite movies, guys.
And your Ally McBeal DVDs.
All mine, clearly. No, the cassette tape of the Liverpool over there, though. And there's just some... They just had so many great Gary McAllister passes with Michael Owen. Like, good Michael Owen, not
sprinting onto
Michael Owen. Yeah, getting onto the end. Back when he was one of my favourite copites. So,
when you had your Michael Owen posters all over your wall.
I did have Michael Owen posters. And a scarf. And a scarf, which he looks pretty bad in now that I look at it. It looks like a Playmobil man,
yeah,
sort of.
It's probably best you don't get it. And you have a Michael Owen cup, which is... since faded.
Which, yeah, we've talked about this.
And you robbed cups from Newcastle.
We talked about all these things. But Gary McAllister, I think that's a good one.
There you go. Well, yeah. I'm sure it's pretty difficult for you because most Arsenal players are far too young to be balding at this stage.
Yeah, they...
No. Not at this stage, not back in the day.
We had John Hartson, but he had hair then.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I can think of two or three off the cuff.
Philip Senderos.
Oh, good.
No, not really.
He was bald.
I was actually going to go with Frank LeBeouf, just from his time at Chelsea.
Ball, man.
Because he was a bit crazy as well, a bit insane, a bit kind of... I'm going to shout at you and get involved in these kind of things. But from as long as I can remember, the lad was bald.
Yeah.
I was like, he was always bald. A bit like Zidane always was aging. It's like, he was always bald. It was like, there's a video of LeBeouf when he was 90. And he's bald.
It's what just kind of like that thing with Barthez, where everyone kind of knew him as this slaphead. And then you'd see footage of him playing ages ago. I was like, who the hell is that guy in goal? Oh my god.
His hair was terrible, Barthez. His hair it looked so bad, he was better bald.
I know, it's completely off topic, but when the wrestler Stone Cold Steve Austin used to have hair, he had long blonde
hair. It actually looked similar. It looked really similar, Barthez and Stone Cold's hair. But
just make it a Royal Rumble?
Franklin Bove is a good show, alright. But it's worth mentioning this is our personal thing and not because you did say Zidane and obviously all of us would have said Zidane.
But he wasn't
super bald, but I mean
super bald.
It's hard to judge if like were they bald by choice and all that was said. No. Is there conditions going on?
One more notable mention to referee Pierre Luigi Collina.
Oh, he was a good lad.
Nearly everyone's favourite everything.
Yeah.
He's a great
one of my favourite eyes.
Definitely the only ref who probably will ever make it onto the case.
He wasn't even in the game.
Yeah.
He was on
the cover. I'm sure there's probably some mad sheet where you could download him.
Wouldn't that be deadly? Probably not.
No.
If you could play as him.
As the referee,
no, it would be very dull. You press A for a decision one way and B, and then overreact with triangle.
Oh, dear.
That's what I want to spend 60 quid on.
Speaking of overreacting and referees, what are Rio Ferdinand after the Manchester United Real Madrid game? Getting right up in the referee's face with that sarcastic clap, that really annoyed me.
Yeah,
it actually really, really annoyed me. He should have been banned for that, I think.
Yeah, I agree, actually. I think we've seen a lot of bans for stuff like that before. I don't know why this one is any different. Or at least, you know, whatever the equivalent of a card it would be.
You could, the referee.
I mean, that's
just
it's a bookable offence. But I mean, to do that is just a pathetic, absolutely pathetic for a player that.
But we've seen lots of stuff like that, and it's getting Champions League is sort of it's becoming more and more frequent. Like every time someone, if we go back to like Barcelona turning on the sprinklers, Drogba shouting it's a disgrace to the cameras.
Inter and Valencia chasing each other around, fighting crap out of each other.
I mean, they think they're getting worse. They used to be better if you look back.
Yeah, they were the days.
But
yeah,
they're still. I mean, it's kind of something that's happened a lot, and I think with such a high profile decision, it certainly had the ability to do that. But he's a dick.
Yeah, what about the match as a whole? Madrid beat United 2-1 to go through.
Great game. It was a pretty classic game. I mean, you're going to look back for a couple of years and be like, oh, I remember that. That one big decision that may or may not have ruined the game.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as historic as the old, the one in 2001, 2002, was it when Ronaldo scored the hat-trick?
Yeah, that was an incredible
game. For Madrid. Fat Ronaldo, not Cristiano
Ronaldo. He's not fat anymore. Don't call him that.
Okay, Brazilian Ronaldo.
Original. Original Ronaldo.
Original Ronaldo.
Could just use his name. No one seems to like to hear that.
Original Ronaldo.
Original Ronaldo. It's easier.
Originaldo.
Originaldo. It originated from Ronaldo. yeah, that was the classic one. I don't know if this one was as good though, but you know, Real Madrid being that whole nanny thing kind of ruined it. Now I know you don't think it was, or you think it was a red card.
Yeah, me and Roy Keane seem to be the only two. Had a couple of arguments or just disagreements with friends and. Yeah, I don't know.
They're not your friends anymore. Now.
I thought it was a red card. I don't see why it wouldn't have been. Well, if anyone could,
he wasn't intentional.
You and Gareth Southgate, I will kill you both.
It wasn't intentional.
It doesn't matter. That's not the rule.
Yeah.
If I kick you in the head and I say sorry, I didn't mean it.
But he did kick him in the head.
No, but he kicked him high up enough for it to be a red card.
The argument, it was on air below, was it?
Yeah.
The argument is if air below doesn't run in, and then he just takes the ball down and carries on playing.
Yeah, but it's still, I mean, a high foot is a high foot in, like...
But you're not going to stop him and say, like, if Arbeloa wasn't there, which Nani didn't think he was going to be there, he's not going to stop the game and say, hey, your foot was really high.
Like, yeah, I know, I understand that, but that's like, but, like, I understand that he doesn't know he's there. That's unlucky. He should have looked.
Well, no, he's looking at the ball. He should have looked at the ball, because if he looks at the player, then it looks like it's malicious.
No, he should have looked up before. Like,
but
when
no footballer does that. He's following the ball.
I think it's unlucky that he didn't see Arbeloa, but he still kicked the man fairly high up. I don't think Arbeloa can be punished for being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
But he didn't kick him. Kicking would be intentionally doing it, you know, or actually kicking. So he's going up to take the ball down. It's not a snap. Like, his leg's up in the air taking the ball down. He's not gone in to kick the ball away.
I understand that, but contact is still made on the play. It's a clumsy and unfortunate tackle, but it still happened.
Well, there was
And when they're saying it's not intentional, I mean, the referee has about 4 seconds to make that decision when he sees... Gareth Southgate said it about 6 times. I don't think... I understand that Nani didn't go in to injure Arbeloa, but it's unfortunate that he got sent off, but I still think it's a red card. I don't think anyone will change my mind from it.
A high foot, though, should that be a red card?
I don't think it's the contact. It's how high... Like, he's kicked him fairly high. I understand he hasn't tried to hurt him, but he still kicked him fairly high up. Do you want some more water?
No, you're okay. I think I'll have enough to get through. No, but I don't agree with that. I think if his foot's that high, it's an intentional high foot. But we saw it earlier in the season, the West Ham-Everton game, when two players were sent off high foot, and both red cards were rescinded because the FA said, no, that's not a red card offence. And it's not a red card offence. Yeah, booking, maybe. Even the booking was kind of, maybe he'll just get away with it the way it was going. Got it sent off, and I think everybody reacted and said, was it? It wasn't a sending off for the most part, except Roy Keane.
I don't even know if it would have been... I don't know if you're the same as this, but nobody who I was with, I was in the pub watching it, and nobody would have even...
Local alcoholic Rutoban over here.
Hello. But nobody even considered... It said anything about it being even like a foul. No one went... You know,
when you saw it in real time, I said red card. First time I saw it, I said, well, that looks a red card. I waited until the replay, and I saw it again. I said, well, yes, it's unfortunate for Nani. I feel bad for the guy. He's obviously not being malicious, but, you know, I mean,
I think if you're feeling unfortunate for him, then you're kind of admitting that
the red card is harsh. I'm admitting that he's unfortunate to him. Not seeing Arbeloa.
If he looked up and did that, would that be a red card? If he'd seen Arbeloa, like, what? He would have still hit him.
Yeah, but if he looked up, if he knew Arbeloa was there and did that, would it be a red card?
Because the intention is there.
Yeah, but the ref can't see his eyes.
Well, he could see the play.
Yes, but he can't see. He has about 4 seconds to make that decision. He can't see Nani's eyes, whereas Nani's looking.
If Nani looks up and sees Arbeloa, he's going to go, well, I'm not going to stick my foot up that high. But he doesn't. But if Arbeloa hadn't come across, and as you said, referee wouldn't have said, blown the whistle, said, no, that's a high foot. It's like if somebody jumps up for an overhead. Is that suddenly a high foot? If you hit somebody in the head with an overhead kick?
Your feet
are higher than they'll ever be in the pitch.
I understand, but I still think if someone gets kicked that high and you've done it.
I think we get to see players getting kicked like that week in, week out, and nothing's ever said about it. That happens very regularly. I think it's just in Europe, the referee overreacted and sent them off. Or maybe not overreacted. Maybe that's the way the referee's been told to do it in Europe, but we don't see that in the Premiership, which is the main league we're watching. But I've seen players do it countless times in the Premiership and not being sent off. We saw in the World Cup final and didn't get sent off.
Yeah, but I don't agree with that.
I know, but it still didn't get sent off.
Yeah, I know, but...
I don't think any of us agreed
that that was right. I think we all wanted him to be sent off.
I think it was a terrible tackle, but we all said that there probably wasn't intent in that either.
No, James definitely not. De Jongs was far more malicious and horrible, and he should have had a couple of games banned.
And people said Harrow had bottled it, but maybe Harrow was told not to. You know, yeah,
maybe, but I don't know the dealings. I'm talking about from my perspective. I said red card immediately.
Mm. Nobody else really, Barry O'Keefe, agrees.
Yeah, exactly. And I said that at the start. I had an argument with a few people. And it's quite fair enough if people would have believed otherwise.
It's quite possible that this red card would be rescinded as well, which would be.
Oh, me and Roy will be ferociously angry. I can imagine one will be more angry than the other, but
you have got some temper.
I would if I was sitting next to Gareth Southgate. Good lord,
you wonder how that would have changed the game if Nani had stayed on, because it's been talked to death at this stage. But I think people say, Grant, yeah, Nani got sent off and then Madrid went and they won the game. I don't think people give enough credit to Mourinho for making the substitution. Yeah. I'm seeing it because. Mm. Within all of it, if you look at the replays, Alex Ferguson's up shouting, the assistants are kind of holding them back. Mourinho gets up, looks on the pitch, and then puts Modric on the middle layer.
Mm.
And tactically, Madrid do everything right. It's not suddenly because United have one less player, Madrid has gone to score goals. It was a wonderful strike from Modric, but he saw that, bring two excellent goals. Open up a lot of space, and then the space was there. And okay, they might have got another one, but then United came back into it in the last 10 minutes and had their chances to score. I think it was after Pepe came on. He didn't look very good, to be honest.
He was playing out of position,
more of a midfielder.
I hate seeing Pepe come on. Varane was quite unlucky as well. Not unlucky, didn't have the best time after appearing quite good recently at the back for Madrid.
Yeah, 20, I think. Looks good.
I mean, but
he looks like a very good Spanish league defender.
Yeah. Good point. But he did cost him the goal, so I don't know.
He'll have a safe journey into the best team in the world for a good 3 years, for a while.
It's about whoever takes over as manager, if Mourinho leaves.
No, I mean like the FIFA team of the year.
Oh, well, yeah.
He'll be in there.
But I mean, it's worth mentioning the second goal. Ronaldo, of course, scored it. I thought that was a cracker.
Team, and he's going back there, and so on, so on, so on.
I thought that was a cracker. I really enjoyed it. I thought that was a beaut. The work involved now. I wasn't sure if it was a shot across goal, but then I looked up. I think it was cross. And Rooney didn't start.
He's definitely going to leave.
And then he's not now, because we know he's not. That he's been probably going to get offered a new contract as well.
Well, that's just silly if he's getting offered. He only got a new contract 2 years ago, and he's the highest paid player at the club.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He hasn't particularly had a great season.
Yeah.
If they give him a new contract, that's silly.
You'll resign from the 12th man, you say. That's it. Put out the seat. We're looking for a new host.
I think they, after the red card, I just don't think Ferguson did anything. I think he was just.
Yeah, he was just too angry.
Yeah,
he didn't
change his record quick enough.
He got down those stairs fast, didn't he?
He did.
I'd say he's never got down a flight of stairs so fast.
He pushed one of his assistants or coaches out of the way to get down the stairs.
Brilliant.
And then got down and just kind of started waving his hands around.
I'd prefer if they had like a pole for him to go down when he's really angry.
Or a slide.
a slide would be too much. Cause like,
where he has to get inside a small sack and go down.
No, I'd prefer a pole. Because right. It'd just be like, you hear him kind of squeaking down. And you'd be like, oh, Sir Alex is annoyed.
And Sir Alex is coming down to the side of the pitch.
It did seem like he thought, right, oh, I'm annoyed at this. I have to show that I'm annoyed. He got down to the pitch and then went, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I'm just going to flail
his arms around like the Team America signal.
And then kind of shout at the assistant referee. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? He's only been sent off.
Yeah. I was like, actually, yeah, you're right. Here, Nani.
Get off. But Mourinho reacted brilliantly.
Yeah.
Got on with it and made some substitutions.
That's what happens when you have a heart of ice.
Yeah, well, no, I think if it had been the other way around, though, Mourinho probably would have been. It's probably that tie got to each manager. Yeah. I mean, if Real.
Some Mourinho's a better manager.
If Real had a player sent off, I imagine Mourinho would have gone with the old tactics of like trying to poke Mike Phelan in the head or something stupid like that. Like, it's out of order. Wet Willy.
Alex Ferguson's jacket or something.
Just pulling the treads out of it or something. Just being like little minor things.
Hit him in the back of the head, knock a chewing gum out of his mouth. The simple things, you know. That's the United match. Dortmund beat Shakhtar. Also on the same night, but only everybody watch that.
I watched a good bit of it.
Oh,
I like
Tigger hipster, do you?
No. I like watching Dortmund play.
Why are you wearing those silly glasses?
Because they're cool and they help me see better.
There's no
podcasts. I'm not reading anything.
There's no frames in them.
They helped me watch Dortmund better.
Yeah.
But
that's a great performance from Dortmund.
Yeah. It was good. Class.
He'll do that.
He kind of literally tore them apart. Tore Shakhtar apart because they just kind of went, oh no, we're going there. No, we're not going there. And they just realised they're in the wrong spot. And he was just
that's
brilliant.
Tactically brilliant, at least described by you there, I must say.
But then, like,
that was pretty much it, though.
We'll step up. Oh no, we'll drop back. With
yeah,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
Defence was just.
Yeah.
The goalkeeper was terrible.
Defence was. The defence was reddinged, as I like to call it now.
The goalkeeper was awful as well. I don't know who it was for Shakhtar. I don't know who the goalkeeper is, but he was terrible.
Mm.
He dropped one of the shots just on top of the Dortmund players. It was an awful performance all around. People made out that this was going to be like, you know, Dortmund are going to go really far in that. They're my second team to win it. They're not, I don't think they stand a chance of winning it, really.
You're speaking about goalkeepers. Real Madrid had their, but we didn't bring this up a minute ago, but I do have to say, Real Madrid had their backup goalkeeper in goals. Anyone hear the Mark Lawrence comment?
That he
posted on
like
Twitter
for goalkeeper?
Doesn't look like a goalkeeper. Looks like a bumblebee. An actual thing he said because the goalkeeper had because he had stripy socks. And I posted on Twitter, and there was two or three other lads who had typed on Twitter as well. And, yeah, like, what? I don't understand. It was just like, this is before he made any, you know, I'd say it was like 5 or 6 minutes into the game. He doesn't look like much of a goalkeeper to me, Trevor. Look like a bumblebee.
He wouldn't have called him Trevor. Like, she is Trev.
Trev.
Oh,
Trev.
He's a terrible
guy. Absolutely shocking. And then he was wearing that shocking shirt on Match of the Day.
Yeah.
He looked awful.
Alan.
What is the world like inside his brain? La 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 la. It's like a Beatles cartoon. Bumblebee goalkeeper. Oh,
yellow
look.
Submarine.
Alan Hansen as Queen Victoria. Whoa.
Oh, well, I'm taking awful. All of this stuff down. I'm going to produce this.
This really was shockingly
bad. I'm taking all of this stuff down. I'm going to edit it out.
Sorry, I know I had to go back there, but I have to give that a minute. I completely forgot about it.
He did play very well at the end, actually.
Darren's.
Lopez.
Yeah. But
made some good saves, even though people criticised him.
They were always going to criticise him because he's not Cassius.
Yeah. Mourinho must be loving that, though.
Yeah.
He's loving that. He's loving it not playing Cassius.
Yeah.
He'd love
and
it. He'd love it if he beat them. Love it.
Love it.
Anyway, yeah, Dortmund. They just tore Shakhtar apparently. People saying Dortmund did second team to win. I don't think Dortmund's had a chance to win, you know. But Germany could have three teams into the quarterfinals, which would be pretty impressive. I know. We have a friend who very, very fond of the Bundesliga. Who a mutual friend that's very fond of the Bundesliga. He'd be very happy if three teams go through.
That friend of ours.
But if they all went to... We all think the Bundesliga is a good league, but to have three teams in the quarterfinals, that'll probably be the first time they've done that. At least not a long time. I remember Leverkusen and Munich used to be very good. But beyond that, I don't know.
The way the draw is, could we have a Bayern and Dortmund final?
Well, the draw's been made for the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
Yeah,
could
be any.
Could be anything. Yeah. Who knows?
I'll tell you what it won't be. Celtic United.
Well, Celtic lost, yeah. Well, we kind of knew that. Did we?
I think one of us was holding out hope.
I was holding out hope, yeah. But I think I knew.
You were without influential playmaker and all-around dickhead Scott Brown.
You're also missing Samaras from the first leg, which apparently was the problem.
Except for all the goals they conceded.
Yeah, that was
Samaras,
also a problem.
He did. Samaras did make a difference, in fairness. He played quite well against Juventus. He looked very threatening.
Mm.
And Juventus all round weren't fantastic at the home game. I thought there was a couple of chances. I was like, geez, they should be feeling a little bit nervy. They looked like they could let a couple of goals in. And then I, of course, went, well, surely they're going to score in a minute. And then they did.
Yeah.
And it was Matri, of all people, who not really had that great a time there. Hasn't been that well received, as far as I know.
They've always lacked that striker. Or they not that they've always, but they have been lacking a striker.
I thought you were going to say they've always lacked. I was like, oh, they'll give you a rant involving Trezeguet, Del Piero, and Zaghi.
Zaghi wasn't there.
Yeah.
But you can argue that, Casey.
I will.
they brought in Nelke. He's not going to do it. I know Llorente's going at the end of the season, and that's going to be their marquee signing, it looks like. But I don't know if he's the big man.
Nicky Bentner.
Yeah, well,
you're a 15-goal-a-season man.
I'm telling you now, if you give him a season or two else.
None of his drink driving around the place.
He has been injured pretty much the whole time he's been there. He's only played twice, I think.
So it's reasonable to think that he'd be drink driving. Yeah.
He takes full responsibility, at least. He's not going to blame it on his injuries. The toe hurts. I might have been drinking to get rid of the toe pain.
It's good that he's injured on there, not on air. I mean, when he was fully fit and played his full season with Sunderland, he got about 15 goals.
That's once.
Well,
out of a couple of seasons.
Well, no, I think most of the seasons at Arsenal, he's averaged over 12.
Yeah,
that's not 15 a season.
Average over 12. So I mean, he has got seasons when he's got more than that, and he's scored loads for Birmingham one season in the Championship. Hate that.
Hate him.
Well, he thinks he's better than he actually is. That's the main problem. If he just had more focus
or talent.
Yeah, that one. Talent. You know, he might make it.
If he focused more on his talent
and not on his pants.
Yeah, exactly. But he won't be at Juventus next year. I mean, he could wind up that. Like, look at Carlos Vela. Is that Celta Vigo or Real Sociedad? He's scoring goals for fun over there now at the moment. He's got about 15, 20 goals this season. I mean, nobody thought he was going to get 15, 20 goals when he was at Arsenal this season. He'd get 4 in the Carling Cup. In one match, probably. Against Liverpool.
Yay.
That'll be it for the season. Anyway, yeah, carrying on. Celtic loss, as we said.
Oh, bring it back, yeah.
Ultimately,
I thought we were finished.
Doomed Rue to depression, and then this weekend.
That was fun.
It's like a gut punch, like a super gut punch.
Ross County came from 2-0 down.
Yeah,
to 3-2.
I think the worst part of it was the fact that the goal scorer for Ross County in the last minute was Wolfart. That was his name.
Why does that make it worse? Because it sounds
his
like
name is Wolfart.
Okay. I'm not sure
we
if
shouldn't
I totally...
be conceding goals against a wolf's fart.
Or Matry.
Fucking mattress.
A mattress scoring goals. It's about the feet, but it doesn't mean anything.
it's still frustrating, though.
It takes one extra weekend to win the league now. Paris Saint-Germain are also true in the Champions League, but probably won't get to see that, Dan, because his ban's been upheld for 2 games.
Oh, has it? I was wondering if it'd been overturned.
So he's out for.
I'm not watching the Champions League.
But I mean, they could get Barca, they could get Juventus, they could get any of the former teams there. No, they could get Barca.
Actually,
this
worth noting. This is the furthest PSG I've gotten in Champions League, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Ancelotti looked very, very. I haven't seen him happy in a good few years because he went through the whole Celtic thing. Celtic thing. Good lord. Demoting them fast. Yeah, through the whole Chelsea thing, and that's another gut punch. It was great. I enjoyed seeing him celebrating. Didn't see Zlatan on the pitch though after. Is he not allowed to go anywhere? Or he has other things to do? Obviously, he's
there, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, he was there.
Well, I can't play. Right, I'm off. Just jumps and he's gone.
He can jump so high. Off he goes. Look at him go. Look at him go. Yeah, they're true. Yeah, they could play AC, Juventus or Barca. He's going to miss out against a former team.
Oh.
Which would be a shame.
He just wants to not play in the Champions League until he's playing Guardiola's Bayern Munich again. And be like, you were a terrible manager to me and I always hated you. Okay, we've heard you.
Yeah, I think, if anything, Paris Saint-Germain had a better chance of winning this than Dortmund do.
Really?
Yeah. They've got a manager in Carlo Ancelotti who's won the thing twice.
Mm.
They've got players there who won a lot of things in their career. Like, they've got some very accomplished, like Thiago Silva, Ibrahimovic, for example. Beckham's in there now.
Mm.
They've got a strong enough player.
He did play actually briefly, didn't he?
I think he's going to be the man who's going to win it. But I just
imagine he was. Good lord, that
scored a free
ridiculous.
Kick.
Yeah. That would be absolutely
win a penalty maybe. No, it's not just like Dortmund. You know, they got a manager who doesn't really have a lot of experience in Europe. They were terrible in Europe last season. They've been much better this season, but they've got a squad, a decent squad of young players, but they're young players. Not a lot of them are really. They're young lads.
I was waiting until the Dave O'Leary factor came in.
They got a young squad. I'm not really.
It would have to be in German though. The jungen Frau. Frau.
Frau.
Women.
The young women.
Young girls. See, that makes them seem a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah.
Do you think Dortmund's had a better chance than Paris Saint-Germain? Okay, it all depends on the draw, obviously.
Well, yeah, obviously, yeah. But if Dortmund were paired against PSG in the next round, I'd fancy Dortmund. Maybe mostly because PSG don't have Zlatan and they looked pretty terrible against Valencia.
It was a poor match. It was probably one of the worst. I was like Celtic were playing the same night. I was like, ah, this game's over. I might flick back over to the one that's that actually matters at this stage. I'm like, oh god, I'm going back to Celtic.
This doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, I want to see if they get a nice end of the game goal to give someone a little bit of spirit somewhere.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Except Chris Commons was on the field. He wasn't having any of that.
Well, we have to find out whether AC or Barca get through.
We talked about that. I didn't get to say this to you.
Or Schalke Galatasaray.
Yeah.
I'm going to repeat this to you because I said it during the week. Javi playing mind games, pointing out that the one thing Barcelona haven't had is a comeback, which I think is great.
I actually mentioned that on the last podcast.
So. Exactly what I just said.
Oh, I thought you said during the week.
Yeah, I said before that I mentioned it.
You said during the week. Anyway, it's okay. Whatever. We all make mistakes.
You don't need it. If they want to hear that, they can listen to the last podcast.
I was talking about soccer, though. It was still relevant.
It was better.
Stop pointing over me. Okay?
Okay.
I saw him first.
You can have him. I really don't want him.
Yeah, I'm not a girl at a nightclub.
Yet.
You're not?
You were beating up girls at a nightclub. That was the idea for Soccer AM.
Oh, dear.
Marilyn King, huh? What's he been teaching you?
Yeah. Anyway, the draw, obviously. We're still waiting for them to get through. You talked about the Barca AC match already, there's no point going too far back on that, but do you think if Barca can make that comeback win?
I don't think it's implausible.
It's completely plausible. I mean, they can go win 5-0. Nobody's like, that's Barcelona.
If Portsmouth have anything to say about it, they won't.
Yeah, the Portsmouth lads.
Yeah.
It was very impressive, but the new camp's a different story altogether.
Yeah.
Although, Barca have been a bit...
Yeah, they have been a bit poor.
Yeah, they won at the weekend, but it's still been quite boring. Messi scored for the 17th
game in a row, yeah.
Yeah, which is a European record now, which had 1930, I think it was the old record.
Was it?
Yeah, he's broken that.
It's every week that he breaks records. You can't keep up with it at this stage, so.
Jamie Carragher broke one this week.
What was it?
500th game for Liverpool or something like that.
It's like you're talking like a better window or something.
He broke a record. His old collection of wings.
Actually, we never mentioned it.
He dropped them down the stairs and all his records broke.
Ryan Giggs, 1,000 game for Man United against Madrid.
Look at us chucking a couple of stats in here randomly.
Yeah, very impressive. Ryan Giggs, 1,000 games.
Mm.
Are we
just going to trundle over Carragher? We'll get to Carragher later, I suppose. Yes. Love talking about
all them. These, geeks, 1,000 players. Not a lot of players make 1,000 appearances.
Mm.
Zanetti has 1,000 appearances. Over 1,000 appearances.
I love
Zanetti. Yeah, Zanetti.
Detractor.
But he made his last season, the season before, and he's I think he's a year younger than Geeks anyway, so...
It's mad to think that either of them are younger than anyone. just because they're in footballing terms old to me. To say like Giggs is a year younger than Zanetti or Zanetti's a year younger than Giggs is like, what?
But
I thought they were just both like old footballers. You just get past 30 and you become old.
It's incredible what you see.
Age is irrelevant.
That's not to be offensive to anyone listening. That's just that's like dog life. In footballer terms, you live up to 30 and then you're gone.
It's one of those things where you can't imagine, say, if Giggs was to become a manager, right, like next season, and suddenly he's a great young manager.
Yeah,
and you're well, hold on, what? He's young again?
Rebirth.
What's happening?
It's crazy to watch them play, though, and to go, they're 30, he's 39, he's 38, and you're like,
sitcom.
He's running around for 60 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
This is definitely a sitcom.
But even, I think, I remember the Inter won the treble two, three years ago. Zanetti was just, I know he was 25 then.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
He played when they played against Barcelona and he marked Messi. We marked Messi out of there. Messi as man marked like that. It was so good.
Gives me goosebumps talking about
it. Didn't get called up for the World Cup squad, which was just... ridiculous.
We'll get on to the man responsible for that later as well.
He's got 100 and something caps, right? It's a crazy amount of caps he has for Argentina as well.
Wonderful player.
Brilliant player. And then Giggs, wonderful player as well.
Yeah, great servant.
1,000 appearances. This is his 18th year of Champions League football or something. 17th year.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember a year or two back when a couple of people we knew would be like, Giggs is terrible. It's like, well, he's not. Like, he's old now.
But he really reinvented himself as a centre midfielder and...
But do you remember her, like, going a couple of years back? Like,
he United did fan... go through a spell of being.
Yeah, but United fans starting to really turn on him at the point of he needs to just retire and get away.
He was actually very strongly linked with Inter before. I remember there was talk about
Inter.
Oh,
God, and imagine.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
But imagine him now, because him and Zanetti would
still
be there.
Yeah, I know. It would just be sensational.
It's like,
bring Terry Sherringham back in for a little while as well and stick him up front.
But I think they'd have... Or, what's his name? Graham Alexander, the Burnley player. Yeah, your former, he's over 1,000
appearances. Yeah, but I don't think I'd want him with that team. I'll take a penalty. No, you'll go home. That's what you'll do. Get out of Italy, you.
Go to bed. Oh, man. Anyway, look, Champions League's got, it's over. It's done. We'll be back to that next week.
Well, when, it's on tomorrow.
We'll be back to that next week when Arsenal lose and Barca go through.
Yay!
Right, moving on to the league then. We'll start with Liverpool. Because it's good news for Liverpool for once. Oh, you celebrate. Take a boost.
Oh, it was enjoyable.
Liverpool,
I mean,
Liverpool 3, Tottenham Hotspur 2.
Yes.
Fantastic win to beat the high flying Spurs. Keep Gareth Bale quiet for a bit.
They gave us a bit of a hand.
Yeah, they were a bit.
Two absolutely horrendous back pass. Two of the worst I've seen in a long time. Like, you know, bad mistakes like that. I remember probably the worst I've seen up until, or the worst I've seen before that was, remember Gerrard's back pass to Henry?
Oh, God.
That was soul crushing.
He had two back passes, Henry. Yeah, one for Liverpool and one for England.
Yeah.
Which is,
but I didn't care for England.
Very sad.
But that one I did care about. Yeah. But they were two, that, like Kyle Walker's one in particular. It must have been a 40 yard to the left back, you know, while he was in the right
mid. And Fernando Llorente kind of comes out. And,
yeah.
That's not.
I'm a sweeper keeper. Yeah. No, you've just missed the ball.
It's not Llorente's job to be dealing with that, though. He shouldn't be in that position.
Come out that far.
No, he shouldn't, but he shouldn't be in that position. Kyle Walker should have, if he couldn't thump it down the line or pass it to the centre back.
Yeah. Don't go.
Don't go 40 yards backwards to the left.
You don't pass across your own box.
No, you certainly don't when you're in the right midfield area. It was ridiculous. But
it's like when you go to make a pass when you're playing, you know, Pro Evo or FIFA. And for some reason, the computer decides it's going to your left back instead of left midfield. You're like, no, I never want to do that. And then, therefore, it cuts it out. And you're like, oh. No.
There's something to be said. Like, it was both of their fullbacks that made. Well, like Defoe as well, but both their fullbacks were hugely responsible for.
Well, Akotu gave away the penalty.
Yeah, it was absolutely. I mean, it was, as I said, one of those moments where you're watching telly, if you're a Spurs fan, you're like, oh, bollocks. He's just jumped into, like, what can you say apart from, like, you are such a moron. Why have you done that?
There was some talk, though, people saying, oh, well, I don't think that was a penalty. Is
it? Elbows. I think there was three fouls in there. I think there was a kick, an elbow, and probably a bite. You know, that's why I said it's as mad. He's as mad as his hair in the Sky selection. Have you ever seen that? You know, in Sky,
you know,
they walk up the screen. His hair is just unkempt. It's not that... cool little, that's not cool, but the little maze he has on his head thing, now.
Maybe that's why he does like really, really stupid things. Because the idea can't get out of his brain quick enough. It's like, oh, I have a good idea, and I got stuck there, and I have to do something. Just fall over, jump
pretty
into him.
Pretty well, sure this that's not how anatomy works.
This would explain why Lee Carsey, Thomas Gravison, Steve Stone, John Hartson, Frank LeBeouf, they're all such brilliant players.
Right, get back.
Why was
the...
Brian McDermott sacked?
Anyway. Get back to this game.
I'm going to shave my head.
Made a point to Rue that I love the left side of Liverpool's team at the moment, that I dislike the right side.
We've got Enrique and...
Enrique and Coutinho.
Yeah, and
link
got,
up quite well.
Downing and Glenn Johnson,
I suppose. Chira Downing wasn't terrible. He scored a goal.
Nice between the defender's legs. Yeah. Was it for Thomas' legs?
I think it may have been Dawson.
Yeah, I thought it was Dawson.
It was strange. He was like, Don't put it there. Just put it to, oh, why would you do that? Like, but he could have easily missed.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
Like, just put it to the other side. And it was on his right foot, though.
Yeah,
he scored with his head the other week.
I know,
right foot this week. What's going on?
He's on a perfect hat trick over the course of about 4 months.
Do you know what?
He scored a penalty a few weeks
ago. I think Brendan Rodgers played the most brilliant mind game ever. Because he kept talking about how Downing could be a left back and now he's a right mid. He's playing well. You know, so hats off to Brendan Rodgers. He really, really knew what he was doing long term there.
Maybe he was too quick to judge some of those players.
I don't think he was. I think he was right to judge them because they were bad and some of them still are. In fairness to him, he did get one or two things right. I mean, we started the game off the first half. It was a great game for neutrals to watch and we started the game off very well.
It was a good game for neutrals to watch, but it was on a very awkward time with the FA Cup, you know, at the weekend as well. The Chelsea United game.
I told her about this, and Sky, you know, Sky TV customers could agree with me. Because ITV is not my main channels.
You forgot?
I had no idea, and I went to check Live Score, and they of course had friendlies, then Premier League, and then maybe FA Cup or Championship. I can't remember what it was. Didn't see it till like two until it was on later. I was like, oh no! So I was outraged, but I was watching the Liverpool game anyway.
Yeah,
but anyway,
you would have watched it anyway.
Suarez was brilliant, and Bale dived a lot.
Bale got booked for diving in the Europa League against Inter.
Yeah,
which they won 3-0, which is very impressive.
Yeah, they were brilliant in that game.
Got booked. They have been brilliant for a while now, but then they just lose the Liverpool. Like they,
12 games unbeaten.
Yeah,
before now,
they were great against Arsenal.
He has been pretty magnificent, Bale. He's like obviously a likable player in the sense of you like to watch him, but there's times like he drove me crazy the other day there where I mentioned to you. I mean, Lucas maybe grabbed his shoulder or something like that, and he held his face. Gerrard won a pretty clean header. I mean, it looked like he could have gotten a bump out of it, but it was no skull injury the way he went down, and he had to come off for a minute. And
I think he's, as a Liverpool fan, you don't get it as much, but when you see Bale doing those kind of things, it irritates you. When people see Suarez doing those kind of things, it irritates them, and Suarez has done much, much worse than what Bale's done.
The problem is, though, like Suarez has, and like I'm not in no way saying this is a better thing to do, but Suarez has gone, yeah, I've dived a lot. So I can go, yes, I understand he dives a lot. Whereas Spurs and Bale are like, but he's being victimised.
Yeah, well, Bale's
not being victimised.
The point is that Bale, he kind of denies it for one, which I don't know what the best, I don't know whether you should admit that you do or deny it. But it's that he keeps doing it repeatedly, even though it's been pointed out. Okay, it's not, he has what? He has 5 bookings for diving in his career, 6 bookings or something like that over the last few months, over the last like 24 months, something like that. Which is a bit ridiculous, but to keep doing it, it's going to make him a dislikable player over time because people don't like that. People don't like cheaters in football. That's one of the things. Like when Suarez dives, you see players giving out to him. They don't like to see cheaters. They don't like to see people cheat.
And they did give out to him for the
well, Dembele and Suarez
and Parker. Parker seemed to walk. Parker seemed to walk and have a bit of a go at him, but talk to him. Dembele seemed to
want to kind of pinch his nose.
Yeah,
and pull his hair
they had a little bit. They had a little bit of a poke fight during the game, which is I tweeted and it was hysterical to watch because they both were trying to get the other to overreact. So I think Suarez poked him lower leg near crotch region, and like Dembele returned kind of jabbed him in the face. It looked ridiculous. It was just like, please lads, stop poking each other.
Handbags. It was just handbags. That's all it was.
It was less than handbags.
Yeah,
it was like a small purse.
Yeah, small purses. Small purses. Maybe wallets, you know, the last.
That's too manly.
Yeah, probably was. Yeah. Maybe they, you know, wet towels.
A great
chase over wet towels.
That would have happened after the game. Yeah. It was a great win, though. I mean, where is that? We're sixth?
Fifth.
Are we fifth?
Fifth. Head of Everton. But
they
came in hand.
Didn't play. And they had a good weekend as well, didn't they?
They had a brilliant weekend. We'll move on to that in a minute. Yeah, but we'll talk about Spurs. Can they get the Champions League spot? Because Liverpool closing in on the top four. Arsenal ahead of Liverpool by a few points as well.
And yeah, I've
got Chelsea kind of in free fall at the moment in the league. Anyway, Spurs, is this the start of a rocky patch towards the end of the season with the Europa League if they keep going with that? Is it Thursday, Sunday?
It's ridiculous that someone in the... One of the Sky commentators asked that. Maybe even Ray Wilkins. I'm not sure, but it said, "Did it help?" Yeah, cursing on the telly there. If they fucking lean in, they can go over. But he asked. What he said was, "Did the fucking Europa League, affect, you know, make Spurs lose basically?" And I was like, "No, those two awful back passes did. They would have won if it wasn't for that. They looked very good." You know, they were probably the better team overall. We were lucky to come away.
Actually, we'll move on to it in a minute, but the FA Cup game, we'll be talking about now, actually, the FA Cup game between Chelsea and United. Because, I mean, Chelsea played on the Thursday as well in the Europa League. They lost to Steaua Bucharest, but the reporter asked...
Natural 1-0 penalty game.
Yeah, but the reporter asked... The FA Cup game was quite cool. The reporter asked and said, do you think Man United tired towards the end of the game? And Benitez was like, what? It's like, if anything, we tired. It's like, we just played in Romania on Thursday, and we're playing again on Sunday. They played on Tuesday in Manchester. Before it was like, oh yeah, but
Romania's near, isn't it?
Yeah. I was like, what? Did you actually ask that question? I wouldn't be a fan of Benitez in press conferences, but the way he responded was just like,
not sure if he has many.
It was just like, the way he responded was like utter disdain for the report. I was like, what are you asking me? Like, that doesn't make any sense. We've just been to Romania, we got back yesterday or something. It's like absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, it's a fair point though. He said that they tired in the game, which makes sense, because not in terms of, I'm just like talking about Chelsea and Tottenham, they're going to be playing Thursday. Well, if Chelsea only four, Tottenham up there, they'll keep going. They're going to be Thursday, Sunday, which will tire a team out.
Definitely, yeah, and yeah.
We've seen it before, with even in the Champions League, we've seen Liverpool, when they got to the final, they rested some players a good few years back now. Manchester United have done it when they've got to the final, as long as they're not going for the treble. Sunday, you start resting players. And Fulham, when they got to the Europa League final, they kind of lost a few games in the league, and they didn't do very well then, but they were going well in the Europa League. You know, can Tottenham balance the two? Can Chelsea balance the two?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think we do evaluate it a lot. I mean, you do lose and win games. I know it's a stupid thing to say, but stuff like that can happen regardless of the Europa League. You know, like that Tottenham game. They did not look tired. They looked the better team.
It was two mistakes, but maybe that's concentration going as well.
Maybe, but that can happen generally anyway. Yeah. I mean, it's not the first. Well, maybe it's not the first bad penalty Okoto's given away, let's say. So I wouldn't say, oh, the Europa League has drained Okoto's energy from his head.
The first goal was, as far as it goes, pretty good. Yeah. You can't blame them on that. But I mean, just in general, it will take its toll. I'm not saying that this is an example of it.
Yeah,
do you think this could affect them?
Real
total? Well, obviously it could affect them.
But do you think it will?
I don't know how. Like,
they've got a big enough squad.
They've got a big enough, but when you take Bale out of is it? You know, if they're missing,
The four
one
in
or
general,
two big. I mean, if like they're missing Sandro, obviously, so they can't really afford to take Parker out of that team now, unless they want to go with Huddleston, which is obviously inferior.
Huddleston's injured as well, though. He's not around at the moment.
Well, they have Dembele as a centre midfielder.
I don't mind Huddleston midfield, but I think, you know, if he's gonna come back, they're gonna need, you know, they've let Gines go on a free transfer, as we'll talk about, I'm sure, in a bit.
We've got Dembele playing centre midfield. It's not really a natural midfield, so you need somebody in there to kind of do that job. So
I think they should be all right. I mean,
it's the big worry is if they have to rest Bale. Yeah, he can't keep up with it. Yeah. So they don't have a forward. Like, Defoe's only contribution today was a terrible back pass. Really,
in fact, Defoe didn't get much service today. But
that's just the way they play. And
true, yeah. But I mean, Adebayor's out. They're been a bit unlucky with injury as well. When you talk about Sandro's out for the season,
they need a target man to hold up the ball. In Adebayor, they have somebody who could do it, but they choose not to play him. They have to follow.
Well, he's injured recently.
They might even be better off just playing Sigurdsson up front, you know, because he's good in the air and he's going to drop back to midfield. Go for that whole Spain tactic.
But they are a bit unfortunate with, you know, the players they have out. Like, Lennon missed the game, you know, Huddleston's not around, Sandro, Adebayor.
Lennon's hugely important to them this season,
which
is a strange thing, which many people never thought they'd say.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think he's been very important because he takes a lot of pressure off Bale in the way, because he makes brilliant runs. And he hasn't contributed that much, but his running is just unbelievable because he does so much work on your side, and Bale can drift in, and with Holtby as well, who's drifting out your side, has been quite a good sign.
A good tactician by Andre Villas-Boas uses him right, then you've got a good player in him. If you just look to use him in the not to criticise Harry Redknapp, because we do that a lot, but if you use him in the run the flank way, it's like he doesn't control the game that way, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think Boas, he's a good tactician. I think if he can manage his team for the end of the season, they could get that sport. Fourth spot or even third spot, you know. But there was talk, they might take City spot, but I really don't think they have that the energy in them to go that far and take. I know City look terrible at the moment, and okay, they were good in the FA Cup, but in the league they just don't really care anymore, really. It's that pathetic. Anyway, the Chelsea Man United match was just 2-0, which is,
it was a bit of a weird one as well. And United came out very listless in the second half.
Yeah, it seemed to be that they started brilliantly, but they just, concentration went more than anything, I think. And they tactically, I think, then Chelsea just got on top of them.
Do you think United retired in the second half, Zach?
They might be tired from their trip to Manchester on Tuesday.
Because when you play Football Manager, you just click continue and you're back from Romania. So that's how it works in real life.
Yeah. I think it's just concentration issues, really. And then I think Benitez brought on some players and kind of changed the tactics up, and then they got two goals.
He did, actually doesn't usually get much praise for
substitution
control of the Chelsea.
Anything?
Yeah, but he did very well there. Eden Hazard came on and immediately had a big impact. And bringing on John Obi Mikel for Lampard, it was crap in that first half. Like, he knew what he was doing in that. It was the same as that sort of Yaya Toure thing towards the end of last season when...
Is it Yaya Toure up front?
When, well, the idea was to give Ramirez a bit more freedom.
Yeah.
And he was the one who scored the equaliser.
That is, that's the only time Ramirez is useful, I think. I don't think he's a great midfielder, but when he's breaking like that,
yeah,
he is fantastic.
He's a great runner. He's probably better as a winger, though.
That's the thing. I wonder, like, why is David Luiz not further forward and why is Ramirez a centre midfielder?
I mean, David Luiz isn't forward forward because he doesn't have a lot of composure.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, you wonder about, like, why are these players playing where they are sometimes? You know?
Wonder when players like that, the Garbell being a left back in his early career.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what?
Carragher being a striker.
At some stage, the coach not go, you'd be better as a winger.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know.
He did eventually.
Exactly.
But
eventually.
It's just weird that they didn't develop at a youth
after
level.
He was in a Spurs team that hadn't won a game. For
like Dion Dublin moving to centre back. You always had it in your Dion. You always did.
Gary Doherty.
Oh, quality.
Our
top goal scorer. That's not true.
See the new Super Mario game.
I think they were really, really bad, the Chelsea fans, like,
doing. They were chanting, you don't know what you're doing when
you make substitutions.
And then, exactly. And this completely changes the game.
Yeah. If history is anything to tell by, like, McCarthy and stuff like that, if history is anything to tell, Raph will be sacked in like 2 weeks now after doing a little bit better, you know, after McCarthy did for Wolves.
Yeah, well, maybe McCarthy being sacked from Wolves is a terrible thing because Wolves are the bottom similar three to what the championship at the moment.
But Stephen Hunt got really upset recently after, this is just a bit of Irish news when we mentioned Wolves, you know, he was booed. I think when he came off or just as he came on or something like that, he was injured for a couple of months with a really serious injury and the Wolves fans booed him.
Yeah, he is a bit crap though.
Yeah, but I think I'm not afraid to say that. I think Wolves fans, from some of the time I've seen them, have been some of the most spiteful towards some things that I've ever seen. I can't believe it.
In the other FA Cup game though, in the Everton Wigan game, Fellaini was booed actually when he came off because he was pretty poor in the game and he just
didn't
get into the game.
Yeah, he had a bad game.
But I hate the fans to boo him. Like, he's been their best player. He has been their best player.
They
all
obviously
season.
Want him to leave now.
They want him to leave.
Moyes should pack him in. Pack him in his pack Fellaini in a suitcase and fuck off.
The two of them should leave together. Yeah. They should sail off into the sun to wherever. Wherever they're gonna go.
Elope. But back to just saying on Rafa briefly. Like, I think he did well to pull it back to a draw and they'd be pretty happy, but overall I'd be like, oh no, a replay.
They actually have
enough games already.
They have problems though, even scheduling the replay now, right? Because Chelsea are still technically in Europa League, and we know, well, you know, Chelsea could well actually go through. United are out of the Champions League, but they're saying the next available date is the 23rd of March, I think I heard or read, which is during the international break or something like that, which means they're probably not going to play then. So it could be the week after that, and then you're talking about fixture congestion, especially at this end of the season. It's like, this is great fun.
That's something Rafa loves to give out about as well. But all the way back to the Liverpool days, he does not like fixture congestion.
I thought that it would have went to replay, it would have went to extra time penalty. I didn't think they'd bother with the replay from the quarterfinals onwards, but it's only the semifinals.
I forgot about it as well. I was watching it. I was like,
I'll just go to extra time. I was like, oh no, it's not. That's not going to happen. It's strange. I just think it would make more sense if they had. Okay, friends, other teams won't have that problem with fixtures, but they do.
Yeah.
They could well have that. But yeah, the Wigan Everton game, where Everton lost to Wigan 3-0. I mean, this is a chance for Everton to go to the semi-final of the FA Cup again. They did it last year.
I think everyone expected them to as well. I think everyone was like, Everton are there. Everton are going to be finalists. It's going to be their year.
It's Everton's year. Liverpool's year.
It was really tough. Like, I you know, came late to that game and I was like, oh my god.
But they could
see
the 3 goals in the space of 3 minutes or 4 minutes.
It's the same as the last time Wigan won 3-0 away against Reading. They just, they scored just.
Well,
boom,
except
boom,
half
boom.
Time.
But still, like, in terms of gameplay, it was space of about 4 or 5 minutes.
They're precise, Wigan. They wait for your moment of weakness and then they smack you 3 times.
That's why they're third bottom.
But they don't get a lot of chances of smacking.
Even though they
they'll wait months on end for a chance to score a goal.
Even though they got the 3 goals really quickly, Everton just didn't look like scoring. They had so many chances to score, but like they were hitting shots over the bar, going wide. Fellaini was poor as we saw, like true balls just weren't going through, misplacing the headers, misplacing chests, you know, all that.
It was bad, but I mean, Everton fans should cop on a little and realize, like, no one, no one likes to be booed. I mean, we've actually had a lot of it. Ledgerwood was booed for Reading, which is just what I can't wrap my head. Like, what? I don't like him either, but, you know,
he's your player.
Yeah, like, where else are you going to put it? Guthrie came on. I was like, he's not much better. You know, I don't think he has much more of an effect on the pitch. You know, a lot of booze going around. Like, I can't really.
Very thick. A lot of booze. A lot of booze. A lot of beer.
Yeah, they're all locked. Gin. Yeah, well, I think there's fickle football fans, as it happens. Mm. You know, if an Andy would score a hat trick next week, I'll be cheering for him.
He'd be the best man in the world. Just don't applaud him. Just don't, like, if he's had a bad game, you're like, oh, fuck's that. You know, bad game today, you did. But
Mike
Taylor's
back, he's not going to play any better if you do that.
Exactly. Mm.
He's just going to annoy you.
Especially with a player who's been constantly linked away from the
club. And it hasn't said he wants to leave yet.
Yeah. I'll be like, get out.
He's been their best player all season.
Yeah.
Awful.
Him or Baines?
Yeah,
I mean, Baines was poor as well. He had a
boo,
poor game.
Boo, that will count. Boo him out of the club. Boo all the good players out. Boo David Moyes out. He's going to sign a new contract.
Boo, go get a better job because you're a good manager. Go
boo. Boo, you're too good for us.
Boo us? Is that what they're saying? But it's strange now because if everyone had a one, they would have been playing either Millwall
or Blackburn.
Blackburn, which two championship teams.
Probably almost guaranteeing yourself.
Yeah, you're kind of saying, you know, you're kind of not guaranteeing, but you're saying there's a much better chance of getting to the final.
Also, there's a much better chance of Blackburn or Millwall not getting to the final in that case, which would have had me relatively
happy.
On the other hand,
it could well be a repeat of the 2004 final, Man United versus
Millwall. Oh, brilliant. Yeah, that was a real contest, that was.
Yeah. Or the League Cup final, which I think was even the same year, Man United Wigan.
It's getting worse. Well, this is if Man United beat Chelsea, but the winner of that will have to play Man City.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's what's shaping up to be a good semi-final anyway. So, you know,
they'll just effectively call that the final.
We've got one semi-final that doesn't look great.
Have another game.
You've got one semi-final that doesn't look great. You've got another semi-final that looks brilliant. So you're going to have a 4-3 between Wigan and either Blackburn or Millwall and a 1-0 for Man City against Chelsea or Man United or something like that.
Actually, I was watching Sky Sports News and they forgot to take into account that the United Chelsea game hadn't, you know, it was gone to a
replay.
Yeah, so they announced live when after the games, like, you know, Chelsea will play Man City, and it's like, no, they won't.
Oh, we gave it away. It's all
Jim. It was who, whatever the woman was beside Jim White, and Jim White looked so confused. He looked like he was gonna say it and then didn't, and then he was like, I'll just leave it because I'm Jim
Did
White.
Did anyone actually watch the draw?
No.
It was on live on ITV after the game. And
Was it Jim Rosenthal?
It was...
Or was it Jim White? From Sky?
Mark Bugash.
Oh.
And Edgar Davids and Graeme Rousseau.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was terrible. Graeme Rousseau was the most hammed up, like, acting with the balls coming out. He was like, whoa.
Balls coming out.
But it was one of the
Graeme Rousseau.
Sounds like the kind of Graeme Rousseau act that I'm used to.
It was one of those things where, like, it took about 40 seconds for them to do the draw. And then they were like, well, we have put in like 10 minutes of airtime on this.
But they always
like,
ask them a
Mark,
question.
Ask them some questions. Like, asking Edgar Davids what his first memory of the FA Cup was. And he was like, oh...
The back end of my career in the paper
column. Yeah. He did.
We played a turnaround replay.
He did. He kind of just said something like, oh, Spurs. It was before he was at Spurs. He was like, oh, I remember Spurs were in it. And I saw that they were in it and they liked it.
United.
Oh, that was pretty much it. Yeah, he said something about Gascoigne, actually. And then Mark Pugash was just like, and you saw the passion that the English have for the FA Cup. And he was like, sure. This is like
go on, Graeme Rousseau, regale us with a tale of how everyone in Russia is afraid of you. Oh, well, see, I was arguing with David Batty, so everyone in Russia thought I was mad hard. All right, Graeme.
Go on, Graeme, tell us about
it's the inside of his, like we're talking about
everyone
Mark Lawrence's hat.
I was so hard.
Everyone, like, in the inside of Mark Lawrence's head. It's the same with Graeme Rousseau, except he's like, you know, Ross Kemp style, knocking around Afghanistan. Oi, mug, put down the gun.
Graeme the Rock Lasso.
Graeme the Rock Lasso.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson won't be too happy with that one.
Whatever. Graeme Lasso has a massive jaw as well. He does. He has a massive smile.
And a massive character defect. Makes him deeply unlikable.
And he has a massive bell end.
Hey, how do you know?
I didn't say he has a massive bell end. He is.
Anyway,
yeah, where were we talking about? Football? Was that we talking about something like that?
I thought we were talking about Super Mario Gary Darty.
We go back to the Super Gario. We will go back to the Premiership then. We'll talk about the other end of things in the Premiership. The relegation battle. QPR won their second consecutive game.
For the first time
since 1995.
Yeah. Ah, nice. You both heard it. Imagine.
December.
I actually read it, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, I read it as well.
It had subtitles on.
Subtitles on, yeah.
Yeah, they beat it. Sunderland side, who I can safely say created one chance.
And
took it.
And they were lucky to take it. It was an Adam Johnson shot that deflect, that, you know,
bounced off.
Taylor Fletcher must have one of the best, like, shot to goal accuracies, because he only gets to take like 8 shots.
Stephen Fletcher.
Gary
Taylor Fletcher. Yeah, I'm thinking, who lives offside.
Yeah.
Exactly. He was born offside.
Stephen Fletcher. But like, I'd say he has about 9 shots this year and 11 goals. Yeah. Like, that's how ridiculous the stats are. Sunderland just don't make any chances.
Actually, imagine they were giving out because he was in the team of the day, and Alan Hansen was just like, who makes this team? What's he doing there?
Honestly, who makes this
team? Is it me? Did I do this?
There were like 4.
I'm very high.
There was like, that was a stupid team. It was like, but there's only like 4 teams playing or something.
Yeah.
How difficult is it to make a team?
Yeah,
it
was, you have more probably come in there.
I was like, Jesus, how did so many Southampton players get in? It's like, oh, well, okay. It was even one of the lads who gave away a penalty. Like, what's he doing there?
But everyone else was worse.
It's like a football manager when there's only one game in the week and your team plays, like, 14 of your players got a team in the week. Like, what?
Oh, alright, yeah.
Like, 10 of them are starting and then the opposition goalkeeper got in.
I thought Harry Redknapp got it spot on for this game, though. I mean, we talk about the impact he'll make on clubs and we're quite, as I said earlier, quite critical of him, but, I mean, he's done a good job with this one. He went, our defence is awful, we have to attack completely. Played the two, played Hoylett and Townsend.
Townsend. Yeah, it was Townsend, yeah.
Was it? Was it not? Townsend, Roy Phillips as well?
Roy Phillips came on for
him. Yeah, didn't he not?
Well,
Townsend,
yeah.
Townsend,
but he went all out with wingers and was just like, we have
David
to. Junior Hoylett.
Under a year, well, it's David Hoylett / Junior Hoylett.
No, Junior Hoylett, come on.
But he has been very underused this season. He kind of just comes into the team and is like, oh yeah, he's kind of a good player, isn't he? And then he's just gone for ages.
But overall, tactically though, Redknapp got it so right when it was like, okay, our defence is awful. They don't create a lot of chances. If we just throw like anything at them, you know, they had Remy running, they had Zamora, and you know, you hear Harry, oh, it's always been the dream. It's always been the dream to have Zamora and Remy. Yeah, that's the dream team.
Oh, yes.
Hoylett and Townsend played off them. But like, that's the dream, alright, Harry.
When did you have this dream?
He must have been half awake at the time, because it's quite doable.
It's kind of dozing off on the bench, going,
that'll be alright, probably.
Wait, what? I think when he came in at first, they were good. You know, they kind of shored up the defence straight away, and they kept a few clean sheets, but they just couldn't score. But now they're getting loads of goals, but they got 3 at the weekend.
Yeah.
What a strike from Just Townsend.
Oh, wow.
It was beautiful. Yeah. He'd had 1 or 2 kind of wild shots, but then he just popped up with that, which is brilliant.
Is he on loan?
Yeah, he's only on loan. He said his main priority is to keep QPR up, but then he wants to go back to Tottenham.
Kieran Richardson style. Like when he went to West Brom.
Yeah,
stunning season for them. And went back to
United.
Played left back, didn't get in, got sold. That's all ahead of you, Townsend. Did you see Christopher Samba at the point? Like, it showed you where Townsend's goal was. And you see a short corner to being taken. And I think Samba must have been thinking, I'll go up for this corner. And they took it quickly. Because his two hands go up there and he's like, oh, for God's sake. And then Townsend scores the beauty and he just, hands down.
Yeah. Samba was very good in the game, actually, as well. And Remy was quite good as well, actually. He was
active,
quite good
Remy.
Since he came, and he was very good in the Southampton match the week before, which they won. The way he drifted off, that was a strange goal, the ball across the pitch, and he drifted away from two defenders who just couldn't get near the ball. It was like, again, I don't reference.
It's on absolute basics, Harry Redknapp is just doing it right.
Yeah,
I don't like praising him too much because I don't think that basics should make, but he is getting them right, and teams like Sunderland aren't.
But he's getting his tactics right as well, because I can't remember who they played. It was West Ham or something a while ago. And I think, when was it Remy's first game? Remember when he got caught offside a few times? I can't remember.
Yeah,
I think
that was West Ham, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might have been. And he got in eventually, and was the tactic was basically give the ball
three same into the twice middle. Offside and eventually scored the exact
whoever
same
was in
ball.
The middle, give it to them, and whoever was going to play that.
Trapped.
Yeah, he was actually was playing that game.
Wasn't in the squad.
He was dropped for the game.
Yeah, and he didn't play against Southampton. Won both games.
Yeah, I don't think it's much to blame.
As well, Granero's not playing.
Yeah.
Which is and another player.
Genus came in and also scored a pretty nice goal. Who I didn't know was actually signed.
Yeah, I thought it was on loan as well.
But then it's like, he's on a free and he signed. When was he on a free? He was with Tottenham up until a month or two ago.
It's strange though that they've dropped all these kind of star players.
Yeah, you know, good players.
In Granero and stuff like that, and they've brought in Sean Derry and
Clinton's
captain, and they brought in, you know, the older, like, the players were there, and they're actually much better with these players.
Yeah.
Okay, Townsend, we didn't know much about
them. They are going to lose other games with these players.
They will lose games. But if Harry mixes it up and plays the flair players when they have to be played, and they do, as people have said, they do have an easier run in. It's Aston Villa next for them, which isn't a winnable game again. Okay, it's after the park, but it's a winnable
Sunderland
game against.
Have some horrible fixtures.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
United, Chelsea, Newcastle,
Arsenal,
and Everton. No, I don't think it's Arsenal. I think it's United, Chelsea, Newcastle, Everton.
Oh, is it?
I'm pretty sure it's there.
I thought they were way
too that's pretty difficult.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be right down there. You know, considering they wasted their goal in this game, that they were probably going to...
That's their goal of the month.
Going to be allowed off once.
Literally. They got one. And there was the other match, though, Southampton Norwich, which was actually a really good match for nil-all.
Yeah.
Played in a horrible, horrible way.
Yeah. And I sat there
when
thinking,
you say the other match, there was more just now.
Well, there was more, but I mean in that relegation.
Yeah.
Well, Aston Villa and Reading as well.
I suppose,
yeah.
We'll get that as well.
Yeah, but we'll get to Southampton Norwich.
Yeah. We were just down there.
Sat there smugly watching that on Saturday thinking, oh, look how horrible that weather looks. Oh, wouldn't I hate to be in that, man.
Lo and behold,
we have a visit.
We're all trapped in this room. Podcast out. You might get like 8 podcasts this week.
Yeah, we're actually just
doing it to stay
in a log cabin.
Like that episode of The Simpsons,
yeah.
Just doing the podcast to stay sane. Wait, who's that army of snowmen?
Or Southampton, nil all. Good match, though. Good match, as I said. It was good save for Boric at the end as well.
Grant
Hall went down very easy, though.
Yeah, that was annoying. They should have had a penalty.
He didn't look for a penalty the first time he was fouled, though. When he got his shirt pulled, when he went to the box, he kind of just got up and got on with it and started waiting.
Probably because that's what he's built his career on. He's been pulling people's shirts.
Yeah, true. And pushing people around.
So he's like, alright, yeah, fair
enough.
He's
easy, lad. So
but he went down. And you can all agree he went down very easily. Whether it was a penalty or not, it's a debate. But Boric saved in the end, which is important. But at the end of the game, the Southampton manager, Pochettino, came onto the pitch. He can't even speak English, but he came onto the pitch to have a good go with the ref. And
yes. Okay. Alright, yeah.
I wonder if his translator came on and
he says you're an arsehole. Get out of here.
He says that was the right call and that's a good decision and he's very happy for it to get a point.
It reminds me a bit of Star Wars. He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
It was a good game though for a nil all the rest of the game. There was a couple of chances in there, but Norwich safe, Southampton safe. Both teams safe? They're going to get relegated?
I don't know. I think we did.
At this point, what three teams are gone now?
I know QPR have an easier run in. I haven't even looked at the table to see what way it is. I still think QPR
we're still bottom.
I still think they're such a threat. And every time I say Wigan, they don't go down. So there's no point in me saying Wigan. If I say Wigan, it might keep them up.
Wigan
actually.
They're going down. Nah, they're not. They're staying up.
It's really.
Now
that
you said that they're staying up, they're going down.
Yeah,
that's an important.
That's how it works.
Like, you know, talking about the Reading Villa game as well. I mean,
I'll go to Reading Villa then, but I want to talk more about Brian McDermott being sacked rather than just sacked, because we talked about it at the start. He's been sacked at a really strange time. Okay,
Manchester United next week.
Results haven't been great, but you know. Who's going to come in and pick them up at this stage of the season? And what, 10 games to go?
We talked about this. What way did they see
McCarthy,
their season?
Exactly.
It's exactly like that. What way did they see their season going? Surely they must have gone, well, we're probably top favourites. If we can avoid relegation, McDermott's done well, but he's gotten us up, which is important. So if they come back down and get up again next year, like West Brom. West Brom had a year of kind of ping-pong around the leagues. But I mean, I know that they didn't always have the same manager. Once they got Mixon out, they did pretty well. But, you know, you need to stay kind of stable. You can't just be like...
you can't just be like falling over like Ian Hart.
That was hilarious.
The invisible man attacked Ian Hart. It was... I said it to you too. He was drunk. Like, it's not like he tripped over his feet. The ball game,
fell.
And he's just... His head seemed to weigh him over. He's like... He looked like a Lucozade bottle about to turn and then stopped. So, like, he was about to flip over and then he just stopped and fell. It was like, how did that happen? What did you do?
It's just magic. Really.
They showed a couple of... on match
of the day. Who missed the shot? For Blackman or something, was it?
Yes,
He completely missed it and then hit
the
ball with a standing foot and fell over.
Yeah.
And then the,
the
own goal from Baker.
Which was an absolute cracker.
But he manages to generate so much pace and curl that the ball's spinning so much into the net. It's like, how did you manage to put it into that one spot?
What do you think Ian Hart has said about that? Like, surely someone's gone, what did you do? What happened to you? I've had incidents where I've just, you know, kind of lost my footing and fall, but I've never seen that in quite as spectacular as that. I'd say blacked out for a minute or something.
Things just happen when you play football. Like, we've all you've got the pass to play and you've passed to the wrong player. You're just falling over. You completely discharge the shot.
That's great. It's worth talking about how awful Reading's defence was. Mm. Although, I thought they were unlucky to actually lose that game. I know Villa were the better team, but Hunt probably should have had a penalty at the start. I don't know if you saw that, Guzan battered him. The goalkeeper came out. And again, goalkeeper got protection. I think there was a free kick against Hunt.
Sorry, forgetting Noel Hunt's there sometimes.
Yeah. Noel Hunt had his back to the goal, and then Guzan just came up and battered him across the back. And I was like, you can't do that. As well as Hunt's goal being offside, he scored towards the end to equalise and they claimed it was offside. I think it was really harsh. I don't know if it was.
Yeah, well, Villa getting the win is great for Villa, obviously, because it gives them a bit of breathing space. They've got, as we say, QPR next week, which is a real must-win for both teams. Because if QPR lose, then you're just like, there could be 4 points off safety again, or even more, whatever they are, off safety. It could be up to 7 even, as I said. If results go badly. But then you don't see Redden beating United, as you said. You just question what Redden are going to do. Because as bad as the defeat was for them, why not just keep McDermott there until the end of the season?
Yeah.
If you get some relegated, you get some relegated. You can sack him then and you can bring somebody else in, or you can leave him there and you can go back next season. Who are they going to bring in that's going to save? They can't buy players. They have to use the same players now.
Yeah.
It's like, at least McDermott knows them.
It really irritates me. Like, I think he should just go down with that club. I mean, the same way, like, they didn't sack. Like, I know Holloway's bit of a mental guy to use, but like
the same thing happened.
But they stayed with him. Like they were getting relegated with their manager, and it's like, right, well, we've had our year in the Premier League. There's no point in cutting that year short, like by a couple of games, when there's no point. You know, maybe they'll prove us wrong. Maybe they'll bring in Mark Hughes, and for once, he'll have an immediate impact. But they're talking about bringing in Paolo Di Canio.
Di Canio's favourite.
It's just
madness.
Yeah, that's silly. Like, what, he's gone from
literally
it's
madness.
Yeah, he's they don't need a lunatic who last week was breaking and entering. That's the last thing they need in the team. That's just mental.
He might in a way be the kind of manager to come in and motivate the squad short term,
or he'll just, like, they'll go in and be like, oh, look at this.
But he did seem to be quite good at motivating the Swindon team, who were, you know, they were top of the table when he left, and they had only got promoted,
keeping them constantly like aggravated, so they're ready to go every game. Like, I want to kill him, but I can't kill him because he's the manager.
But yeah, it might be something like fear. And if you, I don't know if you can instill it into his players in such a short space of time, but if you never know, a person like that who's so eccentric and he has such a big personality, he can have an impact on the squad. Whereas someone like Alan Corbett, who would come in, try to play it safe, be a bit boring, they're still relegated.
Yeah, I don't think why did you point out Shevchenko was in the running for the job?
Well, their owners are Russian, so they've obviously. I know he's not Russian, but they've obviously got some sort of links, or it might be a consortium, so they've obviously got some sort of links.
Graham Lasalle come in, scared them all away. I was wondering, actually, did you guys hear on Match of Day some more phenomenal. Every week they've got some great bit of punditry. This week it was, I can't remember, it was when Benteke was breaking down just before Reading scored, I believe, and whoever it was dragging his shirt. And the commentator asked, well, I don't know how the referee didn't see that. That's one of the most blatant pieces of shirt pulling I can recall all season. I was like, wow, that's very specific.
I got my book of shirt pulling.
Last week, I saw Grant Holt and Kevin Davis, and shirts were all over the place. It was like very, very specific.
It's like a weird game of Cluedo, the way you were describing that. Grant Holt in the box with a shirt pull.
Oh, Grant. Well, we don't know who's going to get relegated. It's basically what we've learned from that.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking... I still think... If we're going to put a thing on it now, Reading, I'm going to say, are going to get relegated now. I think sacking McDermott is a terrible idea. I'm going to say...
It's good to see it.
Wigan. Because I think they might stay up if they do that. And I'll put QPR in it as well. I'll put
yeah, I think QPR will probably go down.
Spirit fight. I don't know. I need to reevaluate it and have a look. But that's the three right now that
you haven't seen the fixtures and everything like that.
There's nine games left for most of the teams down there. So
Southampton could easily lose all of them.
Sunderland could easily.
QPR do have some of the easier games. They were doing six games. They could get 18 points and
point
of finishing 15th or something.
I read that said they need 37 points and they have 24 or something like that.
Which is Sunderland, 13 points.
Sunderland is going to be a big thing. We'll see over the next few weeks now. I mean, if they... I'd say even if they lose two games in a row, with the way that some of the lower teams are playing each other, they will be chucked right down there. Mm. And, you know, we said it before, Martin Neal has not done a good job there recently. Mm. So
did a good job in his first 6 months and it's been crap.
Maybe that's who Reading need.
We said this last time a manager got sacked. We said that with Southampton. Stop linking him to jobs. Right?
He already has one and he's doing it poorly.
McLaren's unemployed.
Oh god.
Surprising that none of us mentioned that there.
Who else is unemployed after this week? Still. Continues to be unemployed. In Europe.
You're asking me?
El Diego.
Well, he's not taking the Montpellier job. Yes.
He is looking like a secret agent in most of his photos, though. A fat, horrible secret agent. Fat, horrible, tax-dodging secret agent.
I like to think that he thinks he's being incognito there.
Yeah, I know.
Wearing sunglasses, like, no one will recognise me as I snort this cocaine off the toilet bowl.
Hey, he's not doing that anymore, right? He's hanging on balconies getting photos taken of him in what looks like a big bed sheet. He's just a lunatic. Well, yeah, he's not getting the Montpellier job.
He's not taking Montpellier job. So a lot of people in line for a red job, is what you're saying.
Yeah, oh, imagine.
Oh, that would be incredible.
I'd love that. He'd be Paolo Di Canio times 10.
Oh, my God. That would just be absolutely outrageous.
I'd love that.
It would, I don't think he's dodged too much tax there. He's probably allowed in Italy now. So that's probably why. He probably reckons he can get an Italian job.
The Italian job.
He's probably going there to rob some money on the banks.
possibly. Anyway, move on to La Liga, where Real Madrid moved ahead of Atletico Madrid.
They did.
Now, it's all working out for Mourinho now, isn't it?
Mm. Well, not really, because they're second. Good. 12 points.
He was talking.
Two weeks, you know, fortnight for beating Barca twice, knocking them out with a Copa del Rey, beating them in the league. Okay, it's not going to change anything in terms of the title, but... To get one over on Barca. It could well be the last El Clasico, unless they meet each other in the Champions League.
And as you said, Casillas has fallen out of the team. They're still winning. He just needs Ramos to get,
Ramos is suspended.
Yeah, well, he just needs it.
He gets sent off every third week. So.
Yeah, I suppose.
He's been sent off 18 times his career.
We talked about this last week. About the same amount as Thomas Repka.
Yeah, I've been said. It's just madness. But Real, they moved to Atletico Madrid there. So if they overtake that, they finish second, if they win Champions League in the Copa del Rey, Mourinho walks away.
I think
looking brilliant again.
Yeah.
Walks into another job easily.
Mm.
Not that he would have much trouble getting a job anyway, but he probably has the best record in Europe.
Mm. Two more big trophies on his CV though.
Yeah.
And another one from Ramos to throw under a bus.
Yeah, but that's if they win. He's like, I mean,
and if they let him on the bus this time. You get downstairs, you're not coming upstairs on this one.
We don't know where he's going to go next. We knew when he was at Inter that it looked like he's going to Madrid, but it'd be great if, I don't know, we know that Guardiola's going to Bayern, so if he was going to say go to Dortmund next and he played Dortmund in the Champions League final or they played somebody else to play Paris.
We talked about this though, Dortmund aren't, Klopp's not leaving and they're not going to swap it over, but I know what you mean. Schalke.
Klopp might get sacked the way he's been going to the league though.
I don't think so. They had such a good year last year that they couldn't they wouldn't this year.
You never know.
Might still win the Champions League and then there you go.
They won't win the Champions League.
It's very hard on El Klopp. taking a plop on Klopp, this guy.
We talked about the Cup there, the Spanish Cup, the final's actually being announced because they didn't know where they're gonna play, first of all.
Or when.
Or when. It's going to be in the Bernabeu.
Or how.
It's going to be the Bernabeu on May the 17th.
Play it's going to football. Be definitely football.
Maybe Olympic handball.
Is the 19th or the 17th?
I think it's May the
17th. Yeah, May the 17th. It's a Friday.
It's a Friday, yeah.
It's a weird time for a football match.
What a weird night. And it'll probably be like the 11 o'clock kickoff now and then. Anyway, but that's when it's going
to
be.
Sky Sports will cover one quarter of it.
You can watch the rest online. Yeah.
We need to talk to some people on some phones. You can watch that for a good 45 minutes and then we get to...
And we got our live coverage of cricket. Oh, no. Anyway, that looks like it's about it from the world of football this week. But do keep an eye on the Facebook. Do keep an eye on the Facebook because we have our man in the know of League of Ireland. Yeah.
Do you want to know his name? Will I give his name? Close personal friend. Will I give his name? Phil Moran.
Phil Moran's going to be writing for us on hopefully the League
of Ireland. Me and myself and himself contributing to a Airtricity blog. It kicked off last week there. And
first will be up this week, won't it?
It should be, yeah. It should be up this week.
As long as it doesn't snow too much.
Yes.
You can email each other. But yeah, still go keep an eye on that. That'll probably keep running for a
couple months. Your Airtricity friends.
Yeah, tell your Airtricity friends. Tell your friends about... the air and electricity mixed together. Electricity.
The league.
Actually, did everybody see the ad for Niall Quinn's satellite company?
I saw it.
I only saw the ad during the day and I was like, did he launch that? But he's walking around in a jumper tied around his
top.
I was like, oh, this looks so awkward.
He looks like a big skyscraper kind of satellite thing in it. Like, hello,
I'm
the perfect representation for your company.
And then he just pulls the satellite out of the sky.
Oopsie daisies. I've broken millions worth of equipment.
It's up there with Luis Figo.
Oh god. Luis Figo
kicking balls.
Breaking tellies in reality, but in his head.
Kicking balls through television. And nobody questioned
it. Or Peter Schmeichel's let's repost that. I did do a little blog post. That'll get the blog in rotation again. I'll repost it now after we post this.
Do that actually, yeah.
The old best footballer ads.
And we have Joe Hart's hair as well these days.
Mm. That's awful. I hate that one. No, you prefer Kevin Keegan and that boxer in the showers having a laugh together. It's just so weird.
Or Gareth Southgate and the Stuart Pearson, the pizza ad.
Oh,
and Gareth Southgate puts a bag over his head and says,
Gareth, you're not supposed to do that. You'll asphyxiate.
He's choking to that. It's a paper bag. Anyway, look, I'm going to just...
Pizza Hut promotes asphyxiating
Gareth Southgate.
This would be a hell of a big bag.
I'm going to call it a day, lads. Thank you, Declan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ruth Tobin over there.
Thank you.
Did a stellar job. Thank you myself, Shane Keenan. Get on the Twitter there, the at 12 Man Podcast. Get on the Facebook as well.
That's where all the funny sounds are. The Facebook page.
12manpodcast@hotmail.com. Thank you very much for listening to this. Bye-bye.
Listen out for the 12th man pig.
The 12th man pig.
Man bear pig.
The 12th man pig cast. I like it.
Uh-huh. Oh, he's got a pen on him. He's got a pen. Well done, son. He's well won himself a prize.
Give Rory Tobin pen out of pen.
That's a pig pen.
I have to say, I'm devastated at not getting my pen to you first. Really gutted that I missed out on that opportunity. I'll try harder.
It's a nice pen, good flow out of it.
It's hurtful.
Oh no, it's broken.
Sit down. Go away.
Hello.
That'd be a great speech at a wedding. Ding, ding, ding.
Hello. I've been drinking all day.
Jeff.
I keep doing Scottish accents.
You sound like Charlie Nicholas / Darth Vader. Jeff, your father.
No, yes. I'm your father, Jeff. And your mother.
Princess Ruth Tobin. In Pride and Prejudice.
Is that what the thing is of Pride and Prejudice?
No, I haven't read it. I'm a bloke. I read Sky Sports and Top Gear magazines. I've made him eat the running order.